Great morning, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn in the Office of Mission Ministry Interfaith Dialogue at St. Francis College in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. My great pleasure to be back again with you today. The purpose of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to inspire you, our audience, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope, healing, and peace in these unprecedented, turbulent, uncertain times. Motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Listeners, it's really up to you as how to utilize the information we provide today and take full accountability for the decisions you make and a resulting outcome. Now, one of the goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models of people who take very bold steps in their work lives. This is a very special time in our workplace and world when clarity has never been more important. As such, we have with us today a very, very special guest. His name is Jim Vassilopoulos. Jim is a C-level business advisor and executive coach with a proven record as leader, strategist, rainmaker, and expert in new business development. With his principled leadership, visionary approach, and effective execution, Jim has successfully established new companies and transformed underperforming organizations. As the founder of the Rothy Advisors, Jim assists early stage businesses in launching successfully, growth stage enterprises in accelerating their progress, and established organizations in navigating complex challenges and strategic shifts. He is also the author of the very timely, enlightening, and inspiring book, Clarity, Business Wisdom to Work Less and Achieve More. Great morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Jim.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you for having me.
The honor is all ours. Can you share with the listeners and me from what city and state you're speaking from today?
I am coming to you from Louisville, Kentucky.
Wow, home of Churchill Downs and the Kentucky Derby.
That is correct, sir. Yes. That's where I met my wife.
Oh, my goodness gracious. You've just made this host and a lot of listeners very jealous. One of the most beautiful places and areas in the world, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Jim, sadly, we've only got 30 minutes. We could spend hours talking about your background, this incredible book. We're jumping right in the deep end of the pool.
Let's do that.
Thank you. Let's share, please, with the listeners and me about your background. Who is Jim? Share with us a little bit, please.
Yeah, I'm just a normal guy, really. I mean, I'd say too much. It's, you know, I think it's kind of funny. I wasn't the best student in college. I was pretty good in high school, but then got to college and then, you know, figured out what really smart people look like. And, you know, I did with a lot of grit and perseverance, I got through that and, you know, got a decent job and then, you know, kind of ambled my way like most young people do. And, you know, didn't quite know exactly what I wanted to do, but had some opportunities thrust in front of me that at least I was smart enough to recognize. And I jumped on them and got involved in the internet kind of early and, made a lot of mistakes and, building companies, selling companies, you know, trying to help organizations. And that's really what the book is all about. It's like, hey, I made a lot of mistakes. There's no real reason for other people to make the same ones. So let me pass on what I've learned so that we can, you know, sharpen the knife for a lot of other people so they don't have to get as many bruises as I did.
We're so blessed to have someone of your ilk today, Jim, on Thank God for Monday. One of the things you talk about is curiosity. And pardon the pun, but the audience and I are curious, please. How does curiosity play a pivotal role in achieving clarity and business success?
you know, the answers to any problem you're struggling with or dealing with are never really on the surface. There's always a deeper layer. I mean, sometimes things are obvious, but most of the times there's something more to it. And, you know, curiosity is that part within you that, you know, says why something's not right. I need to know more. Or that's interesting, but, you know, tell me more. And, you know, that natural curiosity that allows you to kind of dig a little deeper, make sure you get below the surface. And if you can get below the surface, then you can really learn more and understand more. And I think curiosity is so critical to not just understanding business problems, but to having good relationships. Because, you know, to have good relationships, you really have to be curious about other people, what their motivations are, why they want to do something. It's one thing to say like, oh, you know, what do you do for a living? And someone tells you, oh, I'm a doctor, a lawyer, whatever. You say like, but then the curious part of you says like, why did you decide to become a doctor, a lawyer? And, you know, then they give you an answer and then you say, well, that's interesting. You know, what was the seminal moment that, you know, really caused you to go forward? Now you're really developing a deep connection with someone. And when you develop deep connections, you often get to the truth faster and you get to the source of any real value that you can offer in a relationship. And so I think curiosity is one of those things that we foster in our children, but then somehow, you know, we kind of beat it out of people as they get older. And I think you never really want to lose curiosity. You want to stay curious. And I think good things happen.
It's so funny you mentioned this. I had a 29-year career in pharmaceuticals before becoming a Franciscan brother. And one of the things they stressed was asking a lot of questions, and that the only silly question was the one not asked. And in retrospect, now I'm thinking about that during our conversation today, a lot of that, they really wanted us to be curious. They wanted us to probe. They wanted us to take a deeper dive. And now I understand exactly why, certainly. Now, in your great book, you talk about the concept of leaving others one inch taller. I'm sorry, Jim, I've never heard of this. Please explain everything you mean by this.
Yeah, you know, I think we all know that feeling when you have a conversation with someone and afterwards you just feel like you're one inch taller. Like you're just like a little bit stronger and taller and better, you know, it just someone lifts you up. And, you know, I think the people who inspire us most in our life, you know, have that effect on us. And so, you know, if you want to be a little bit intentional with your life, you know, what I encourage people to do is say, listen, anytime you enter into conversation with someone, you know, one of my main objectives is how can I have the other person leave our conversation feeling one inch taller? You know, what can I add to the mix? What can I do as part of our interaction to have them walk away feeling just a little bit more confident, a little bit more assured of themselves, a little bit, you know, more, I guess I'll use the word confident again, but just that feeling of sense of pride and dignity, maybe I think that's important. And so anytime you can do that for someone else, it's memorable for them. And I think that's, you know, one of the marks of leading a good life is, you know, what is the impact you have on other people? And so if you enter every conversation with the intention of saying, I'd like that other person to feel one inch taller, I think you're going to have generally good outcomes. And, you know, in the end of the day, you're going to lead a good life.
Oh, that's so beautifully Franciscan. It's ironic because teaching in a Franciscan college and working in one, some of the students coming from high school, especially our freshmen, have shared that when they're in conversation, sometimes they feel one or more inches smaller. And they're really looking for that positive reinforcement. Being in Brooklyn and in the New York City area, sometimes life can be a bit rough for these students, certainly. And so to leave people taller versus smaller is just beautiful, no doubt about that. Now, your book, great book entitled Clarity, what gets in the way of seeing business and the world around you clearly? Talk all about this concept of clarity, please.
Yeah, I mean, it's layered. Okay. And so I think, you know, then that's the way the kind of book is structured as well, as, you know, when we're looking at, and I was a consultant for, you know, many, many years and helping businesses with their problems. And, you know, there are a lot of symptoms that are out there. And a lot of times we get distracted by the symptoms, and those symptoms, you know, we tend to focus our energy on treating symptoms, much like when you get a cold, you know, you take a pill to, you know, lower your fever or, you know, stop your coughing or something like that. And we treat the symptoms, but we never really get to the root cause of something. Might be like, I'm not eating right, or I'm, you know, burning the candle at both ends, you know, and, you know, especially with, you know, if they're college students listening, I mean, they tend to do all the wrong things to not be the most healthy. And so, and you wonder why you get sick more when you're in college than you do when you're not in college. And so, but when you're distracted by the symptoms, you know, the most important thing is to recognize what is a symptom and what's not. And, you know, I could go through, there are many, but, you know, I kind of picked the top 10. And I'd say the one commonality they have is that they're all outcomes. You know, a poor alignment in an organization, or a poor culture, or retention problems, or profitability problems. Those are all symptoms. They're not actually the problem, because they're outcomes. The problems tend to be a layer deeper, and you got to understand the difference between the symptoms. So, you know, it's not that we don't have to treat them, just like we have to treat a fever. Okay. If you get an infection, but the reality is we want to solve the infection. And so then you get into real problems, and they tend to be relatively common. I cover a bunch of the common ones that I've seen through my years as in consulting, to say like, hey, you know, do we have a financial, a business model issue, a leadership issue, a people issue, a sales issue, et cetera. And let's get to kind of where we can move some levers and make a difference. But even then, if you understand those issues, there's always like a layer deeper, especially when it comes to, let's say, people issues. And that relates to sales and leadership and everything, all these other issues. And you're usually dealing with multiple things at the same time. And it goes to, let's say, the psychology of our beings as humans. You know, one of those things is, you know, we let our imagination run wild sometimes, and it takes us to crazy places. You know, your imagination never goes to the rational center. Your imagination always goes to either a unicorn and rainbows situation or a scenario that's, you know, earthquakes and plagues. Your imagination can run wild. We make assumptions, and we're very generous with our assumptions, and just knowing when you make them is critical. And we have a lot of cognitive biases that get in our way of doing things. And strangely, for as much as we like to think we've got a command of science, we're really bad with numbers. And there's some kind of comical ways in which people, I demonstrate how people are really confused by numbers. And so, you know, those are three layers we strip away.
Wow.
And I think the last one to really get clarity is our command of time. And I think we're not very intentional with time, but people like to make judgments on things as to say, this is a good idea or a bad idea. And I think sometimes we have to really reframe those kind of decisions as to say, they might all be good ideas. They're just not good ideas right now. Or this is a good idea, but not yet. So understanding the sequence with which we need to do things to get a proper outcome, the being patient to get the timing right. And this is really when that work less part and achieve more part kicks in, because you got to think about it. And I'll use a baseball analogy, and some people don't like sports analogies, but I'll use one.
That's okay, please.
You use the same amount of effort to hit a home run and a foul ball. Okay. The difference is timing. You know, there's not really much difference. The swing can be the same. Everything's the same, but it's just timing. And so a lot of times, you know, if you get your timing right, you can have many, many more successes than, you know, you would otherwise. But proper timing, you have to understand the sequence. You have to know when the proper time is. You also have to be patient enough to wait. And so those three things allow you to be very intentional with time. And once you're intentional with time, then you can really start leaning into maybe even more complicated things I talk about, like conscious competence, which is, you know, the thing that lets you know proper timing. like that thing that you understand something so well that you're like, I know the right time is right now. You know, anyone can get there. This is not tough stuff. You just have to have the curiosity to pay attention and to really be mindful of, like, okay, you know, what are the consequences of my actions? And I love the way you started the podcast today with accountability for everything. It's like, just, you know, like, pay attention to what you're doing and what the outcomes are. And, you know, almost in a very scientific way, just evaluate what's going on very critically, very humbly, and accept the reality of what's going on. And you can really make a big difference in your life and the lives of others, and you'll have way more clarity.
Well, thank you, Jim, for mentioning that, because there were periods of my life, long periods, when I did not take accountability. And the results were absolutely disastrous, and my satisfaction and my contribution were next to nil, certainly. So I've learned the hard way the importance of intentionality and the importance of accountability, certainly. I was intrigued by a lot of what you said, naturally, but the fact that you did consulting work prior to having your own organization, we have a lot of college students listening, certainly. Is that path to something you recommend for college graduates, maybe to do some consulting with some of the bigger firms or even smaller firms? Talk a little bit about that with us, please.
You know, the consulting started off because I had this internet firm, and as part of it, you know, we had to do consulting to do the projects. And so I started my own kind of, you know, I started consulting, and, but, you know, it was very fun. I enjoyed it. And then, you know, of course, I was part of several other consulting partnerships I was part of through the years. And but I'll tell you that the value you get out of consulting is vast. I do appreciate the fact that I started my career in corporate America and I got big company experience. And so I understood how big companies worked, all the things that work well and things that don't work well. So I think context is important. Much like I discourage people from getting their MBA, I apologize, you know, to the university, but I discourage people from getting their MBA right after their undergrad. I said, getting the MBA is more helpful if you have context. And that context and that work experience is much more helpful. In the same way, a little bit of direct job experience is great. Then, you know, some consulting after that is, it allows you to accelerate your learning at a pace that's unbelievable. Because at one company, you see how one company operates through business cycles. When you're in consulting, you might work with four or five companies in a given year. Or, you know, you're going to, even if you work for one company a year, over the course of 5 years, you're going to see five different ways people do things. Now you get to see patterns. You get to see different situations, you know, what functions well, what doesn't function well, how the same thing doesn't work well in two different circumstances. And you go, why? That was our scripted solution. It worked well here. It didn't work here. Why? And it allows you to just learn much faster. So by the time you're 10 years into your career, if you've got, let's say, five of those being consulting, you know, you might have 25 years worth of experience compared to someone who's 10 years out of school and just worked at one company or two companies for 10 years. I really appreciated it, and I learned a lot.
That is really brilliant and great advice, certainly. Now, we alluded to a couple of the common problems that business run into, but maybe we can dig a little deeper on these problems. And also, I'm very curious, Jim, are these problems similar across businesses and industries, or have you and your great work found that there are problems that are unique to certain businesses, certain industries? Share with us, please.
Well, I mean, certainly there are some types of problems that are unique to certain types of industries. But, you know, through my career, I kind of highlighted nine that I, you know, thought I saw a lot. Okay. And I'll just run through them real quick. Sales, you got people problems, you got product and service problems, you got focus problems, you got pricing and positioning problems, you have financial problems, you have business model problems, strategy problems, and leadership problems. And so these are kind of broad categories, I admit, but And the strange thing is they tend to be pretty similar across most industries. The key though is, you know, no one wants to not feel special. So when I was starting out as a consultant, you know, everything was different and special because I didn't have context or experience.
Sure.
Then after a number of years, I started seeing patterns. And I started saying, oh, hey, this problem this pharmaceutical company is having is exactly the same as this manufacturing company. And you talk to people about that and you say, oh, yeah, I saw this problem in an insurance company. And they'll be like, no, you don't understand. It's we're different. And the reality is the problem was the same, but no one wants to feel the same. Everyone wants to feel different. So as a more seasoned consultant, I realized it was better to say, yes, you are different. But then just apply the lessons that I had learned at other places to help people see a different way of looking at their problem that might be inspired by what I saw at an insurance company or at a pharmaceutical company or a manufacturing company. And so the problems tend to be the same because guess what? We're all human. We're all the same. And, you know, the big mistake I'd encourage your listeners not to make is to say like, oh, people in finance are different than people in marketing or different than people over here.
Oh, wow.
We're all people. We all have families. We all have desires. We all have goals in our life. You know, maybe some people are a bit more analytical than others, but we're still people and we're really governed by many of the same things. And I think once we start segmenting people with words like they and them and they're different and they're not, it's a bad habit that can get you into trouble, not just in business, but in life. And so just recognize that, you know, we're all humans. So we're all very, very similar because our genetics are very, very similar across the board.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a year, in particular 2024, we want to have a year of unity. We want to focus on our commonalities and our not differences, certainly. Now, I love the way you use some fictional stories in the book. This I found very unique, actually. Share with us, why did you use these stories? And maybe you can share with the listeners a little bit how you use them, please.
Yeah, you know, stories are what we remember. You know, I've got a podcast, you know, the Leadership Podcast. And on that podcast, we, you know, have like 400 episodes with a bunch of different people. And, you know, they can tell you what their positions are on this or that, and, you know, give you acronyms to remember it. But really, all you remember are the stories. When it's all said and done, people remember the good stories. And, you know, that's why Aesop's fables are still told. It's why we still, you know, can talk about Greek mythology. It's why, you know, the Bible is a series of stories, right? They Absolutely. Resonate. And so I knew that, you know, what I wanted to do was communicate something. I didn't want to write a textbook. In fact, I hated most textbooks. So, you know, to be frank with you, but I wanted to give context. And I always thought I enjoyed when I got my MBA at Marquette, I enjoyed getting the case studies, but the case studies were always so targeted and narrow on like one specific problem. And so I created these characters that are, you know, people can identify with, and there are three characters in the book, and I follow them through really some big problems they're dealing with. And how they kind of collaborate a bit to solve the problems together. And the reality is it's a very human way to look at it. People get very engaged with the characters, and I think it's more relatable and it's more memorable. And so, you know, it's much less of a textbook or a treatise on clarity than it is a way to help people understand it. And that was my goal. And you know, so far, it sounds like it has been working well.
I'm not surprised to hear that this is really a book. And it's funny because to thank God for Monday listeners now, I'm a terrible reader. But you've written this in a way that even I could read it, enjoy it, understand it. And I think most importantly, apply it. No question about that. So again, Jim, kudos to you for this great book. Time is getting a little short. We've got about 6 minutes, but I've got some important questions still to ask you. As we go into 2024, we're now into 2024, certainly people still say, we don't have enough time. I know that's one of my laments. You believe that time could actually be a friend, an ally when leading, managing a business. Talk to us more about this, please, Jim.
Yeah, here's the thing. I remember reading years ago when Tim Ferriss first came out with his book, The 4-Hour Workweek. And I read that and I was like, I was intrigued by it because I was one of these guys that was grinding away and, you know, I was, you know, partnering a bunch of companies and working a lot of hours. And I was like, wow, you know, going down from, you know, 60-hour weeks down to 4 sounds pretty attractive. And of course, you know, I read the book and then I was like, well, you know, I've got a family, I've got a mortgage, I've got kids that are in sports and school. I can't pull off what he did in that book, but I was intrigued. And I kind of put it to the side mentally, but behind the scenes, subconsciously, my brain was really working on this. And so I noticed over time that what I appreciated about what Tim Ferriss did is he was very intentional about questioning things, questioning assumptions, saying, why do I need to do this? Maybe I don't need to do this. And maybe there's a different way to do it. And so I really took a look at my work and realized that there were a lot of things that everyone said, like, you have to do this. And I realized you didn't have to do them. And so I think part of it is you just kind of pay attention to what really moves the needle and what doesn't, and be very intentional about that. And that's part of what I call conscious competence, which is knowing what really matters. And in one particular part of my business where I had to get very involved with my partners, I had to take over sales and generate a lot more sales than I had in the past for our business so that we could do some other things.
Oh, wow.
And I was able to pull it off. And, you know, I walked into my partner's office and I was expecting a big pat on the back and like, hey, well done. You know, that was amazing work. And, you know, he was a guy who didn't shell out too many compliments. And he said, you know, hey, great job. Well done. He goes, but tell me one thing. Can you teach other people how to do this? And I was like, I don't think I can. He goes, well, then you're not done, which is another famous saying of his. So I went back and I paid attention very closely to what I had done and realized, okay, now I think I can teach other people. But because I had spent the time, I got very good at it and I got even more efficient. And I got to the point where I was selling more than, you know, I ever could have imagined. And I was probably working about 4 to 6 hours a week. And that allowed me to invest more time in understanding human psychology and get even more efficient. And then I looked at that and I said, you know, part of that was understanding the right sequence, the right timing to do stuff. You know, conscious competence is about really understanding, like, you know, how to hit more home runs with the least amount of swings and the least amount of pitches.
Wow.
And once you get good at that, you can invest in other things. And, you know, then lo and behold, you know, you're starting a second company, you're doing a podcast, you're writing books because you got time on your hands. I think just really paying attention to what moves the needle is critical. And if you're very intentional about that, time can be your friend and you can be way more productive than you ever imagined.
Wow. Oh, that's incredible. Tell us a little about your podcast, please. The Leadership Podcast.
Yeah, I've got a good friend of mine, Jan Rutherford, former Green Beret. He and I have been talking to people for, I think, about 7 years now.
Wow.
We talk to leaders, you know, some military leaders, business leaders, authors, thought leaders. You know, for me, it's about the best hobby you could have. It forces me to speak with a lot of really smart people, read their books, keep the edge sharp on, you know, my knife by, you know, steel sharpens steel, right? So we want to just, you know, stay sharp and talk to people. And so we've been doing it for a long time. And when I say, I don't think I ever want to stop, I'm sure someone will stop me someday, but you know, it's just a very enjoyable thing to do of all the hobbies you could have. Talking to smart people and learning, I think is maybe one of the best.
I can empathize with that. And I've spoken with someone today who's very brilliant and who's certainly been a great addition to Thank God for Monday. We've saved the most important question, Jim, for last. Where can our loyal listeners purchase Clarity? How can they best follow you, please?
Thank you for that. You know, I make it easy on people because my last name is super difficult and long. But if you go to businesswisdom.com, everything you need is there about me, about the book. You can find links to purchase it on Amazon, but businesswisdom.com.
Terrific. Listeners, couldn't be any easier. Businesswisdom.com, and do yourself a big favor. Get this book, not only for yourself, buy a couple of copies for others. This is the kind of book you want to really share the good on. Jim is a great Franciscan. He could have held on all this good. No, what did he do? He wrote this great book. He came on Thank God for Monday today. He shared the good. Now it's your turn. Please, please, please. We want to make 2024 the most clear year. We want the greatest clarity. This book will go a long way to doing that. Jim, we can't thank you enough for coming on Thank God for Monday today. Continued success, joy, happiness, and great contribution throughout 2024 and beyond. Thanks again for being here with us today.
Thank you, Greg. It's been my honor.
The pleasure is all ours. Listeners, guess what? Once again, we're out of time. Greg's saying our hope and prayer is that when you wake up on Monday morning, just like Jim does, you'll say, thank God for Monday. Until next week's episode, have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.